This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So start this conversation with yourself today. It's crucial. Even if you avoid it now, it's going to confront you eventually. What are your preparations for those good deeds that can continue after your death? Countless Muslims worldwide, including many Palestinians living just a stone's throw away from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, are unable to visit Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa due to circumstances beyond their control, particularly the challenges posed by the occupation. Now, in contrast, some of us from distant lands are graced with the opportunity to tread its sacred grounds and pray within this amazing masjid, often making the journey annually. But just before you fly back home, ask yourself this question: how can I know that I've fully taken advantage of the opportunity that I had and this blessing of being in Palestine? Yes, I've done the praying and the sightseeing. How do I measure my connection with Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and my commitment to its cause thereafter? I'm going to suggest three criteria, which, by the way, don't include Palestinian desserts that you've tried or olive oil that you've purchased. Test your claims of love and commitment to Palestine and how future-proof it's going to be on the basis of three criteria. Or you can call them the three V's. The first V, my transfer from absence to presence. Let's call that voyage. Number two, my transition from sin to piety. Let's call that vow. And my transition from meaningless to profound meaning. Let's call that vision. Those are your three V's. Allow me to elaborate. The first one, we said my transfer from absence to presence. That's your voyage. In other words, make a point of frequently visiting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in groups of families and friends, as couples. Inhale from its pure air, prostrate on its blessed land, supplicate to Allah on its holy sanctuary for its aid. Reading about the cause of Palestine and the virtues of Hisham, that's one thing, but only a visit in person can illustrate the full extent of what has happened over the decades. And only a regular visit is proof that you love what Allah Almighty loves. So find a recommended travel agent that offers a full program, then book your trip. And I stand baffled at those of us who've toured every holiday destination, preferring to return home with souvenirs, a tan, debts, over the everlasting deeds offered at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And my belief is that today, Al-Aqsa should be the masjid that we love the most of all. Not because it trumps Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid in Medina, but because it is ill, it is in captivity. And by our nature, we give most affection and attention to those children of ours who are least well. That's your first V, your voyage. The second criteria, the second V, is your vow. My transition from sin to piety. The moment you arrive at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, don't delay. Capitalize on the passion that grips you and immediately vow to Allah to rid yourself from any remnants of sin that you still latch on to from your previous ways. But you will say to me, what is the relevance of mentioning this in light of Palestine transition from sin to piety? I'll say to you, there is a link. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the night that I was taken on a journey, the Isra, I was presented with two cups there in Palestine, a cup of milk and a cup of wine, out of hospitality and a test. I looked at them and I chose the milk. And Angel Jibreel said to me, Alhamdulillah, الذي هداك للفطرة لو أخذت الخمرة غوت أمتك. Praise be to Allah who guided you to choose the fitra, the natural way. Had you taken the wine, your nation would have gone astray. It was there in Jerusalem, not long after he had arrived from Mecca, when he was presented with these two cups. And it was there in Jerusalem where he chose the pure and natural way. So now that you have arrived at the same destination, it is upon you, my brother, my sister, to make a similar decision of courage and wisdom, to choose the natural way, to promise Allah Almighty that you've spilled out the cup of sin from your life, whether in the form of dress, internet browsing, relationships, business, all their likes, and show Him that you have picked up there in Jerusalem the cup of Iman. And then the third of the V's, if you remember, my transformation from meaningless to profound meaning, that is your vision. Measure yourself against that criteria as well. From this day onwards, promise Allah that you will live pursuing a noble Islamic vision. But again, you will ask me, what is the relevance? Why are you mentioning this in light of Palestine? I say to you, there is a link. And remember this link when you look at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Sulaiman ibn Dawood, لما بنى بيت المقدس سأل الله خلالا ثلاثة. When Prophet Sulaiman, the son of Dawood, finished building Bayt al-Maqdis, al-Masjid al-Aqsa, he asked Allah for three things. What did he ask Allah for? حُكْمًا يُصَادِفُ حُكْمَهُ فَأُوتِيَهُ. He asked Allah for a judgment that will be in harmony with His judgment, and he was given that sound judgment. Dua number two. مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِهِ فَأُوتِيَهُ. He asked Allah for a kingdom that no one would have after him the like of, and he was given that. What was the third dua he made? And underline this one. وَسَأَلَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حِينَ فَرَغَ مِنْ بِنَاءِ الْمَسْجِدِ أَنْ لَا يَأْتِيَهُ أَحَدٌ لَا يَنْهَزُهُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةُ فِيهِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَهُ مِنْ خَطِيئَتِهِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. And when he finished building the Masjid Al-Aqsa, he asked Allah that any person who comes to it intending only to pray, that he emerges free of all of his sins as the day his mother bore him. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ added, أَمَّا اثْنَتَانِ فَقَدْ أُعْطِيَهُمَا وَأَرْجُ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ أُعْطِيَ الثَّالِثَ. As for his two requests, Sulaiman was granted them. And my hope is that he was granted the third. Allahu Akbar. Think about the countless people who have prayed in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And consider the immense reward Prophet Sulaiman and all of those involved in its construction can expect. This was one of Sulaiman's projects for the hereafter. A vision in his life that he pursued. So I ask you now the question, in light of this third criteria, what will be yours? What is your Islamic vision? This must be a question that bothers you enormously and should positively irritate you till you find an answer for it. What is my project for my home in the hereafter? How will I prepare a dowry for paradise? What life vision today will yield the greatest rewards on the day of judgment and will serve me when I have died? Imagine with me a family man, the sole breadwinner of his family, receiving news from his doctor that he has only a month to live. He's got no savings set aside, no other source of income for his family. I want you to envisage the urgency that grips him. Think about his restless determination, his meticulous avoidance of wasting any time or resources as he searches desperately for another source of income to secure his family's financial future before his time runs out. It is within this context, this analogy, that I remind you of the hadith that you know. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ انْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ. When a person dies, all of his deeds, they come to a halt. They end, except from three sources. A continual charity, beneficial knowledge that you'd left behind, or a righteous child who makes dua for you. That's it. In other words, you've also been put on notice. Your days on earth are also numbered. Your source of income of good deeds, with death, will come to an end. So it's time to begin that search. Today we speak many different languages. We have different ambitions in life. But on the day of judgment, as we stand on that plane of resurrection, when the scales are established and our deeds are weighed, with angels descending and paradise and hell in sight, full display, and with Allah Almighty, the one true King, there present, there will only be one language. That is the language of good deeds and sins. So start this conversation with yourself today. It's crucial. Even if you avoid it now, it's going to confront you eventually. What are your preparations for those good deeds that can continue after your death? And for those unsure where to start, the Prophet ﷺ gave amazing examples of what a continual good deed may look like. As examples, he said, سَبْعٌ يَجْرِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَجْرُهُنَّ وَهُوَ فِي قَبْرِهِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ. There are seven things that will continue to benefit a person in their grave after their death. مَنْ عَلَّمَ عِلْمًا أَوْ أَجْرَ نَهْرًا أَوْ حَفَرَ بِئْرًا أَوْ غَرَسَ نَخْلًا أَوْ بَنَى مَسْجِدًا أَوْ وَرَّثَ مُصْحَفًا أَوْ تَرَكَ وَلَدًا يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ. Whoever taught knowledge, or flowed a river, or dug a well, or planted a palm tree, or built a mosque, or passed down a Quran, or left a child to make dua for him after his death. These are examples. Now think about what suits you. What suits you? Transcribing lectures, financing the editing and publishing of an Islamic book, recording lectures for people who can deliver, sponsoring a student of knowledge until they return, setting up a transformative halaqa in your local masjid. Think about what you're good at, what you enjoy, what you may have graduated in. Think about your opportunities, think about your limitations, then brainstorm ideas to channel your circumstances towards an Islamic project at any scale. It's your sincerity that will give it weight, not its might in the eyes of the people. Everyone's dream today is the so-called passive income. And I'm making a case now here for you to think deeply about creating a passive income of good deeds so that they may continue to serve you in your grave when you're no longer around to create them yourself. This is the blessing which Imam Ibn al-Qayyim described when he said in his beautiful words, what a sublime status it is, and what a noble and exalted distinction it is for a person to be busy in his lifetime with his various tasks, or to lie in his grave, his body decomposed and scattered, yet his record of good deeds continues to grow. Good deeds are written in his favor every moment, and acts of kindness are directed towards him from unexpected sources. He said, by Allah, these are the true honors and gains. And let those who compete for this.